Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. After being away on business, Tim thought it would be a good idea to buy his wife a gift. And so he stopped by Macy's and went to the cosmetic counter and asked the lady what she thought would be good for him to buy for his wife. And she said, well, how about some perfume? He said, perfect. So she brought out a bottle of perfume and he asked, how much is that? She said, it's $50. He said, well, that's a little bit more than I wanted to spend. So she went back and she got a smaller bottle. And she said, well, this is $30. He said, well, really, that's kind of more than I wanted to spend as well. And so she went back and got a tiny little bottle of perfume, and that was $15. And he said, well, you know, in reality, what I was really looking for is looking to see something really cheap. And so she handed him a mirror. There was a pastor who was asked to inform a man who had a heart condition that he had just inherited $1 million. And the family didn't want to tell him because they were afraid if they told him that he'd have a heart attack and die. And so they thought maybe the best one to tell him would be the pastor. And so the pastor came over and made some small talk. And after a while he said, Jim, may I ask you a question? What would you do if you inherited $1 million? And Jim thought for a moment and then he said, well, I think I'd give half of it to the church. And the pastor fell over dead. Many of us wonder what we would do if we inherited $1 million or if we won the lottery. How would we spend that money? And most Christians I know, if they were asked, would say, well, I would give some to the church. And the reason why they would say that is because at the heart of Christianity really is a spirit of generosity. And most of us don't want to be considered cheap by using the things that God has given us or allowed us to have in the wrong way. We don't want to consider ourselves as being cheap. Most of us understand that and have no problem with giving to the church. But what about giving to the poor? What do we do when it comes to giving to those in need? Obviously, one of the most challenging things is, what do we do with the poor around us? The government's answer is to take money from those who have it and give it to those who don't, either those who don't work or those who can't work. We encounter homeless people on the street that ask us for money. We see people capable of working but choosing not to work. We see that maybe even the government might be contributing to that by continuing to increase benefits for those that are unemployed so that they might not be so inspired to go out and get a job. Many people are content to live on welfare and other government-assisted programs. There are others who seek to scam people out of their money. Still others who may not be able to find jobs that can provide a living wage for themselves. The poor and the needy tug at our heartstrings, and sometimes we feel guilty because we feel like we haven't done enough. At other times we feel like that we become hard-hearted and don't want to do anything. I printed out a sheet in your bulletin called Helping Those in Need, so if you'll get that out for a moment, I'll be referring to many of the scripture passages in that particular handout. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, the poor you will always have with you. The reality is, no matter how much we help the poor, no matter how much we do to help people, lift people up out of their condition, no matter how much we give, we're always going to have poor with us. Jesus said that's a reality. That was reflected also in our first lesson today. And so we don't want to also feel like that we are enabling them to continue to be dependent upon us or upon others. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day laboring, toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire in doing what is good. So Paul encourages us to work and earn our own living as Christians. So what do we do when it comes to the poor? Well, Moses writes this in Deuteronomy chapter 15. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor in your land. Therefore I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. So God says that they are to help their fellow Israelites who are in need. Don't be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them, but be open-handed and generous in giving them whatever they need. The idea was that because everyone was to live with the integrity that if someone were to give them money, they would do whatever they can whenever they were able to pay that money back to that person. But what was happening was that people were in need, and it was coming near to the end of the seventh year. Now, there was a commandment by God that after the 7 years, all debts were to be forgiven. And so a person would say, well, you know, I'm going to give this person this money, and they're not going to be able to pay it back, so why should I give it at all? And so, but God promises that as we give with a generous heart and not grudgingly, that He will bless their work and all that they put their hands to. The implication here is that their fellow Israelites will do what they can to provide for their own needs and not to take advantage of their generous brothers and sisters. The Bible says we'll be blessed as we help those in need. That's especially true when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also a completion of this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." So the Macedonian church heard about the Christians in Jerusalem and how they were struggling and suffering. They were barely hanging on. So the Macedonian churches wanted to help the church in Jerusalem, and they wanted to help them in a way that would benefit that church. And yet, they themselves, the Macedonians, were going through a time of extreme poverty. And so Paul says that out of their overflowing joy, they welled up in rich generosity. So much so that they begged Paul for the privilege of being able to help in this giving to the Jerusalem Christians. It's interesting that in verse 5 it says, they gave themselves first to the Lord. May I suggest that before you do any giving, that you give yourself first to the Lord. That you invite Christ into your life if you've not already done that. And as you've invited Christ into your life, the promise is that He'll give you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit then can lead you and guide you into when and how much to give to those in need. And so as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we can be directed as to how we are to use the resources that God has given us. As we do so, we can rest assured that if we follow the direction of the Spirit, that whatever we give to someone in need, we don't need to worry about what they're doing with that money, because we're simply obeying God in giving that which He has commanded us to give. I believe the key to knowing when and how much to give really is to be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying this, that we are to be faithful in leading by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying we're also to help our fellow Christians, and as we do so, they in turn will help us if they're able in our time of need. We're also to help each other, and as we do so, that helps relieve us of the stress of finances many times. Excuse me, and will help us to be able to focus on what is really important, and that is the sharing of the gospel, bringing other people to Christ, the growing of the kingdom, and that sort of thing. I want to suggest to you something here in the form of a question. Do we have to give to everyone who asks us? Do we have to give money to everyone who asks us? And the answer is, no, we don't. You might remember the story of in Acts chapter 3. It says, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those coming to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now, there may be times when we don't have money to give, or there may be times when we don't feel led by the Holy Spirit to give someone anything, but we might want to pray for them. We might want to pray for a need that they might have, and that might open the door for God to do something in their life that's even more powerful than just giving them simply some finances. When we either give to the church or to organizations that help those in need or to the individual in need, we're really planting a seed. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So as we follow the leading of the Spirit, and as we seek to help those in need, perhaps that might draw them to realize that God loves them, that God cares for them, that God has a plan for their life. It might cause them to offer thanksgiving to God for the blessings that He has provided for them. We have opportunities that may come to us this week, perhaps even to help someone in need. Are we going to follow the direction of the Spirit? Or are we going to simply harden our hearts and not do anything for that person? That really is a question that we need to ask each day as we go out amongst the people around us, or as we see and encounter the various needs that are in our community. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have provided for us many blessings, that you have allowed us to have all that we need in our lives. And yet there are so many that don't have all that they need. There are also so many that don't have enough to even survive. Lord, the need is overwhelming. There are so many that we see that could use help, and yet we don't know where to start. We don't know who to help. We don't know what to do. Lord, would you lead us by your Holy Spirit to touch the lives of those who you want us to touch, that you would inspire us to give what you would want us to give for the benefit of others. And ultimately, Lord, would you help us to make a difference in your kingdom while there's still time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.